Today's podcast is brought to you by Zipzyme Omega, endorsed by our own vet, Dr. Matt. Bring out the best in your pet with Zipzyme Omega. Go to ZipzymeOmega.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The most common price of gas in America is $3.39, down from over $5 when I took office.
In a world of pure imagination.
Wish. The food prices, the main driver of food prices, is not the price of beef and eggs, etc., although they're up. It's packaged goods. Packaged goods. You're going to see people not buying Kellogg's Raisin Bran, which you're going to see them buy another Raisin Bran, which is going to be a dollar cheaper.
You can Google it.
Right after a healthy breakfast of juice, toast, and store-brand imitation Frosted Flakes featuring Terry the Tagger.
Their food! Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
And while this was happening, my desperate opponent pulled a stunt, and you guys fell for it.
I can't believe you fell for the oldest trick in the book! What a goof! What's with you, man? Come on!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. You know, when Donald Trump was president and you get a press release from the Boston U.S. Attorney's Office, they would actually tell you if someone was an American or an illegal alien or a Dominican or a Brazilian. Just looking at a headline just came over the just was sent out by the U.S. Attorney's Office. Additional defendant charged in nationwide identity theft scheme. Additional defendant. A former Fall River resident was indicted by a... Then why didn't it say Fall River man? Was indicted by a federal grand jury in Boston yesterday in connection with a nationwide conspiracy to open fraudulent driver's accounts with rideshare and delivery service companies. Kale Felipe Oliveira dos Santos of Brazil. So in fact, he was not a Fall River man. He was a Brazil man. Not to be confused with Angola man, who was who was arrested and charged with breaking into Katie Hobbs' campaign office in Phoenix. Angola man, Brazil man. Fetterman's wife, Brazil woman, accuses U.S. swimming pools of being racist, etc., etc. Enough with this stuff, though. I've had enough of this political nonsense and political correctness this week. It's time to talk about our furry friends.
With Dr. Matt.
With Dr. Matt. That's right, with Dr. Matt. Right. Dr. Matt is here, and he's here to answer all of your questions about your furry friends. If you want a second opinion, what about your dog or your cat or
third,
your parrot?
Third opinion, fourth opinion.
Or third and fourth opinion. I may ask you about some parrots today because I took a shortcut to the breakers the other day, and there's several trees on the golf course that have tons of parrots.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to listen to them screaming and yelling. I'm going to buy my grandson a book, If I Were a Parrot. But anyway, the first thing, though, we had a couple of sponsors for the Dr. Matt segment, which is, I must tell you, Dr. Matt, the most popular podcast that we have on the show, except for maybe Police Blotter Facts Friday, and Let's Go Brandon, a distant third.
Once but I take out Grace, I'll take over the lead.
Oh, Grace is being lined up for a headshot by Dr. Matt.
I've got the technology.
All right. So anyway, this segment is sponsored by, among other people, Give, Send, Go. What do Kyle Rittenhouse, Peter Navarro, and the Canadian Truckers Union have in common? They've all used Give, Send, Go. Give, Send, Go is the best crowdfunding site for all your fundraising needs. They do not discriminate. If you need funds for medical, legal, or, here's the important thing in this segment, pet bills, it's huge for raising money for your pet expenses, then you should look at GiveSendGo. GiveSendGo doesn't charge a fee. They let the giver decide how much extra to give this site. This means you can keep more of the donated dollars. Give, Send, Go has also been involved in helping those with legal fees surrounding election integrity issues. Give, Send, Go has a 501c arm that allows you to write off your donation. Take a look at their site, Give, Send, Go, and see all the wonderful opportunities to help those in need. Become part of their giver army. Check them out today at givesendgo.com. That's givesendgo.com. All right. And if you can get on board at the usual number, 844-500-4242, or you can text in your questions for Dr. Matt the Vet. Text Howie to 617-213-1066, 617-213-1066. Thanks for being down in the studio in Needham, Dr. Matt. And where do you normally practice veterinary medicine, and how can people get in contact with you?
I normally practice veterinary medicine at the Ipswich Animal Hospital on Route 1 on the Ipswich-Raleigh line, and my phone number is 978-948-8189.
And, you know, people are getting concerned now. Well, there's shortages of kerosene, for instance. They're talking about rationing home heating oil all across the Northeast. But it's, you know, having to turn down the thermostat in your house, it's not really a problem for our four-legged friends, is it?
Yeah, and until the temperatures get really well below 50 inside, and, you know, people, you know, thankfully people really don't leave their pets outside anymore. You know, that's a thing of the past. And so, you know, temperatures can get down into the 40s and the high 30s, and, you know, a big dog can do okay outside in a house. But inside, yeah, they've got their built-in insulation. So unless you're dealing with a chihuahua or somebody with just, or a very young puppy without a lot of body mass, you don't usually have to worry about the ambient temperature.
You're right, though. People did used to leave their dogs outside. I used to go out with a girl in North Carolina when I was in college, and she had her family had a dog named Schultz, and they tied him up to a tree.
Yep.
And one day they came out, and Schultz wasn't moving too fast. You know what had happened? A snake had bitten him.
Yeah.
He couldn't run away from the snake. He got better, but what an insult.
Like an Indian policeman.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I'd forgotten about that for a moment. Anyway, 844-500-4242. What should people do to get ready for the winter, though, with their pets, their dogs or their cats?
Yeah, you know, I think that just making sure that they give, especially with dogs, giving flea and tick preventive late into the fall and heartworm late into the fall. You know, I always tell people that fall ends 5 days before Christmas, and, you know, it still strikes me as strange to have to say that, but a lot of these things people consider sort of summer treatments, but especially heartworm preventive and flea and tick preventive, flea and tick for dog and cats, heartworm just for dogs, really needs to be given, I think, till at least November and preferably December.
And by the way, I mentioned parrots earlier. I mean, you know, one thing, if you have a bird in a cage, you can't really let the temperature go down that much, can you?
No, birds are actually really sensitive, especially small birds. Bigger birds like parrots have feathers that protect them pretty well. But if, like, lovebirds or, you know, smaller birds than that, you know, you have to keep your temperature up and warm. You know, it really needs to be in the 70s, so.
And as long as we're talking about the temperatures coming down and having to, you know, conserve energy for whatever reason, whether it's supply or the cost, how about tropical fish?
Yeah, of course, tropical fish is usually an electric heater, right? So there's a heater within the tank, and especially for people that keep coral, that's unbelievably temperature sensitive, and so they have these huge setups in backup generators and backup generators to the backup generators, so you never lose power, because even a loss of power for a very short period of time can be deadly to coral and small fish.
Yeah, so a blackout could just wipe out
absolutely
everything.
yeah so those people, I mean, but people that get into that to that level have, you know, thousands if not tens of thousands of dollars in electrical backup.
Oof, what a mess.
Yeah.
Let's go, Brandon. All the stuff. No one was thinking about this stuff two years ago.
No,
this is this is new problems on the horizon, thanks to Joe Biden's selection as president of the United States. Okay, let's go. Let's take some calls here for Dr. Matt the Vet. And what's your number again, Dr. Matt, if people want to call you during the week?
Yeah, my number at the Ipswich Animal Hospital is 978-948-8189. And we do get a lot of calls. We really do. So that's great.
I'm glad because, you know, got to take care of your pets. Jim, you're next. Man's best friend. Jim, go ahead. You're next with Dr. Matt.
Hi, Howie and Dr. Matt. First, I want to say thank you for taking my call. Second, my question is, can a Persian cat live to be 20 years old? I'm thinking about getting one.
Yeah, Persian cats can live to be 20. You know, there are some just naturally very long-lived cats, and Siamese cats, Persian cats can both get into their late teens, early 20s. I was actually just doing a little research on this today. There's a the oldest cat we've ever had in our practice was 26. Fairly routinely have, even though a cat is old at 15, they really are old at 15. Cats can get to 17, 18, 19, 20. Yep.
So if you want to, we talk about sometimes the longest lived dog breeds, but you're saying that Persian and Siamese cats are the longest lived cats?
Yeah, you know, cats, by the greater majority of cats have some mixed blood in them. Let me put it that way. Certainly they're not, you know, genetically pure as that breed, but there are some breeds that are just notorious for living long times, and those are two. You know, if you're, you know, the healthiest cats, I would say long term, are probably your average, you know, domestic short hair, which is really just a fancy word for a mongrel cat. So,
how about Maine Coon cats?
Yeah, Maine Coon cats are very healthy, very cool cats. They're very big. And again, just like with everything else, the bigger the cat, the less likely they are to live a very long life. So, dogs over 100 pounds or cats over 14 or 15 pounds, which Maine Coons are typically, typically don't live a very long life.
All right. Dr. Matt is a believer in Zipzyme Omega, and that's the other sponsor of the Dr. Matt segments here tonight. You like Zipzyme, right, Dr.
Yeah,
Matt?
Yeah, it really is a terrific product. It's a food, and I was giving it to my dog again today. She's a very finicky dog, but likes it a lot.
All right, Zipzyme Omega helps transform couch potato pets into active, vital, super pets, like Gunnar the dog used to be in Pearl. We are what we eat, and that goes for pets, too. Learn more at ZipzymeOmega.com. That's Zipzyme, Z-Y-M-E, Z-Y-M-E, Omega.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Twitter, at Howie Carr Show. You won't regret it.
We're not just gonna let you walk out of here.
Who is we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me.
The Howie Carr Show.
I love my pillows products. I sleep with their pillows, I wear their slippers, I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at mypillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets, go to mypillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will there be gas lines within the next 6 months?
I think so, yes.
78% of the audience says yes, 22% say no.
All right, we're talking about Schultz, that dog I knew in North Carolina, belonged to my
I see nothing! I know nothing!
917 says, yeah, those were the good old days before dogs became our equals. I don't know that dogs are our equals, but still, it's not a good thing to be tying dogs up to a tree, is it?
Yeah, you know, and
Dr. Matt?
From my perspective, I think the thing that I've experienced over now almost 40 years of practice is that pets were pets, and now pets are more a part of the family and are treated more like a part of the family, which means for me, it's good because people think people want better medicine for their pets and better care for their pets, and that's what we're doing. So,
yeah, but there's no need to treat dogs badly.
No,
you
no.
know, even if you don't think they're part a human being, they're just a human being, as that woman says.
Absolutely,
our loop,
right.
You
and,
know?
Well, we deal a lot with we deal a lot with psychiatrists about grief counseling for our clients, and one of the psychiatrists said, and I thought she really said it really well, it said we think that a death of a pet is like a death in the family, and she goes, it's not, it's a death in the family. so you know, and people treat it that way, and so I you know, people that don't have pets may not understand, but people that have, you know, people that have had long-term pets completely understand.
All right. Marla, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Marla.
Hi there. I have a 12-year-old German Shepherd female, and she had a stroke about 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
She seems to be doing much better. I've added supplements, changed her diet, and I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions of any special kind of food or or different supplements.
So just this stroke, did she suddenly have trouble with her balance? Is that what she had?
She couldn't walk for like a little bit.
Right.
The left side of her face, she couldn't like eat right.
Yeah.
She was drooling, and it was just obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So we used to think dogs didn't get strokes. We do realize now that they do. Dogs also suffer from a disease called idiopathic vestibular disease. Idiopathic is from the Latin, is that we're idiots as far as the pathology. I just want to always explain that word because it sounds like a, you know, $100 word that means we have no idea why dogs get it. But it happens in older dogs, and suddenly they can't walk. And it actually is a vestibular disease, not a true stroke as we think of it. Although, as I said, dogs do get strokes, and this could have been a stroke. So I think good care, you know, if we talk about, we want to give anti-inflammatory foods. I don't want to suddenly pitch Zipzyme Omega again, but Zipzyme is an anti-inflammatory food. You want to do either fish oil or something like Zipzyme. A good glucosamine supplement, I think, is anti-inflammatory too. And so I think, and then lastly, a food with undenatured type 2 collagen, which is a collagen that's derived from animals a different way than normal. It's normally hydrolyzed or digested, but this is a mechanically derived collagen. It's in its natural form, and that's a very good anti-inflammatory in the body too.
And Marla, try to keep her out of any Senate debates too. In the future.
True.
Thanks, Marla. Dr. Matt, what's your phone number if people want to need your services?
My number is 978-948-8189.
8189, okay. Leo, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Leo.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Matt, I got a 3-year-old lab. It has had 3 seizures.
Oh boy, okay.
Almost exactly a year apart.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically on its birthday, that's why I know they've been a year
right.
apart.
Right, yeah.
I know that there's a long term for these seizures, but my question is kind of similar to what the young lady just asked you, but some people told me some cannabis oil in his food might help him.
Here we go. We haven't had one of these for a while.
Here we go. I think there is some evidence to support cannabis oil, although here's the problem. As a supplement, it's highly suspect as to whether you're getting cannabis and how much cannabis is in there. So you have to be very careful, and I would only do that under the veterinary supervision, let me put it that way. But yeah, I mean, if your dog is seizuring once a year, be careful of the food. If it's the same time of year, be careful of ingestion. So there you go.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Matt. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We're with Dr. Matt here, and we're not getting all that many texts tonight. We've got full lines, but we're not getting that many texts. So if you have a question and you can't stay on the line, you could just text to us. Text Howie to 617-213-1066. 617-213-1066. And if you're having problems paying your pet bills, there's a solution there. And that's a give, send, go. What do Kyle Rittenhouse, Peter Navarro, and the Canadian Truckers Union have in common? They've all used give, send, go. It's the best crowd fundraising site for all your fundraising needs. They do not discriminate. If you need funds for medical, legal, or pet bills, then you should look at give, send, go. Give, send, go doesn't charge a fee. They let the giver decide how much extra to give the site. This means you can keep more of the donated dollars. GiveSendGo has also been involved in helping those with legal fees surrounding election integrity issues. GiveSendGo has a 501c arm that allows you to write off your donation. Take a look at their site and see all the wonderful opportunities to help those in need. Become part of their giver army. And it's good if you have pet bills that you can't pay. Check them out today at givesendgo.com. That's givesendgo.com. 603 says, was Schultz named after former Secretary of State George Schultz? No, he was named after Hogan's heroes.
Sergeant Schultz.
John Bates. That's right. With us is Dr. Matt to answer your questions about your pets. Dr. Matt, what's your phone number? And you operate out of the North Shore, correct?
Yeah, we're right on Route 1 on the Ipswich-Rowley line. And so just about 20 miles north of Boston. And you can reach us any weekday and Saturday mornings. You can call us at 978-948-8189.
All right. 603 says, we have an almost two-year-old European Maine Coon who's about 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a big
yeah.
cat.
Yeah.
Got him as a kitten. People online said these are fake cats. There's no coon that big. But we bought him, and sure enough, that's what he's become. My question is, why is he violent and easily irritated by everyone except me? But he even has a limit with me before he'll slice me open.
Yeah, you know, understanding cat behavior is pretty dicey. This is actually not that uncommon for cats to...
any kind of cat, right?
Right, and so sometimes it's frustration. I think about, their living environment. Sometimes they want to go out and you're not letting them out. But there are, veterinary behaviors that can help you with this. There are medications you can put your cat on. I'm a particularly big fan of amitriptyline, but there's one called Feel-Away that's a scent-based calming agent for cats. So there's actually lots of stuff you can do. But it is a tough
one. Is there anything
one.
Over the counter that you can get over the counter, like, say, cannabis oil?
Yes, yeah, maybe CBD, probably. Why didn't I think of that? That's why we have you, Howie.
Is there anything cannabis oil can't solve?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Stay off the weed!
But you should probably get something prescribed, just for starters, anyway.
Yeah,
right?
But Feel-Away is actually over-the-counter, so you can get that at a pet store or something like that. That's
Feel-Away.
Feel-Away. Yeah.
And that's for dogs or cats?
That's for cats.
Cats, just cats. Okay, yeah. Feel-Away.
Yep.
All right, there you go, 603. Jason, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
I have a 60-pound Australian cattle dog mix that's about 4 years old, and last year she blew out both ACLs.
Yeah.
And after we did the first one, we did a TTA on the first one, and she kind of developed something where her immune system attacks her joints.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And we've been trying different things. Like right now she's on carprofen.
Mm-hmm.
Prednisone works great, but she's starving all day long.
Right.
And I didn't know if you had any ideas.
Yeah, that's frustrating when, these sort of things happen. ACL tears or anterior cruciate tears are pretty common in dogs. And so a TTA is a very common corrective surgery. And so TPLOs are the other one. But if there's certainly if there's anything immune going on, you need to do some sort of immune therapy. That's what the prednisone is immune therapy. So carprofen is really just a non-steroidal pain reliever. Generally in these guys you want to put together sort of a holistic pain relief package. So you think about glucosamine or a undenatured type 2 collagen, a essential fatty acid, again going back to Zipzyme is one of those, an essential fatty acid food, and then strict weight control, and then multimodal pain relief as far as carprofen, you know, Tylenol 3, amantadine, gabapentin. You want to use all those things to keep the dose of any individual drug at the lowest level.
Well, I didn't have that much therapy when I broke my leg last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, but you
but I guess I'm not a member of the family.
You do, but you did take pain relief. I hope you did anyway, because pain relief can really help you. It's not just to feel better; it's actually therapeutic. So,
yeah, it is. 919 says dogs are families. You don't have to tell me. I drive one of my dogs and my wife to Virginia Tech Small Animal Hospital to see the professor of dermatology because of a little scab on both ears that won't go away.
Yeah.
December 8th will be my fourth trip. 9 hours round trip, office visit, and human prescriptions that my health insurance won't cover the cost of it all. Priceless. We love our dogs.
Well, Western Virginia is lovely this time of year, so I hear.
Yeah, it's the foliage turns a little later as you go south.
Yeah.
So, it's probably a nice trip.
Yep.
Then we have another caller here, says 860, next time my wife sees a charge on my debit card at the local weed emporium, I'm going to tell her it was CBD oil for the dog.
Beautiful. And then she'll ask for urine samples from both you and the dog.
David, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Howie and Dr. Matt. First of all, my wife and I are former VIP members, and we loved it. Dr. Matt, we have two Siamese cats. Actually, my wife has two Siamese cats, 5 years old.
Yep.
We got them as kittens. One is a lot heavier than the other,
right,
and dominates the lighter one.
Right.
My problem is the lighter one has to pound on my wife's head in the middle of the night to feed, because he will not feed while the other one is there. My wife has to stand over the cat so he can feed. My opinion is she should just kick him out of bed. But she loves the cats, and she wants to protect the cats.
Well, sure.
This is a situation.
Okay, so while kicking the cat out of bed sounds good and makes you feel better, the cat has nothing to do all night other than annoy you. So if you think kicking the cat out of bed is going to solve this problem, go ahead and give it a whirl. Roll the dice, as they say, because kicking your cat out of bed will not solve it. Your cat will find some other way to torture you. And believe me, cats are pretty bright when it comes to that, the torturing department. So this is a situation where, are you feeding dry food or canned food?
We use dry food, and also this only happens when my wife is here. When my wife is away, occasionally on trips, I have no problems with the cats whatsoever.
Yeah, because the cats know better. So so what I would think about doing, especially with a heavy cat, I'm a big fan of changing cats over to canned food, simply because dry food has a lot of carbohydrate. Cats are not natural carbohydrate eaters, and so some cats respond to carbohydrate by just getting fat. Also, you really need to feed these cats separately at least some part of the day. And certainly with your skinnier cat, I would give your cat some food in a separate room at a separate time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Sometime near
room.
Bedtime. Yeah.
Seems natural.
Absolutely. You can work these things out. I've had multiple dogs where I've fed them separately for years, and because they just have different eating schedules and different eating desires. So that allows you to control your heavier cat's diet a little bit better. Canned food, I think, is more satiating in cats, so they like it better, and they feel fuller. Satiation is something that's actually studied in dogs and cats when they feel like they're full, and it's based on volume of food and weight of food. So dry food is sort of like eating rice cakes. You're never going to feel full.
I hate rice cakes.
Yes,
thanks for reminding me.
I
don't know why that. Why do they give babies rice cakes? You know, like, oh, it's a rice cake. The baby's got to figure it out as quickly as any other human being. 913 says, I used Fellaway when I moved into a new house, and it made my stressed out cats mellow. Good stuff.
Yep. It does. For the cats it works for, it really does work well.
And 781, I have a 10-year-old female English bulldog who gets sores on her paws constantly. She's on Apoquel daily, and when she gets the sores, they give her Cephalexin. They clear up well, but they usually return within a month's time. Is there anything else we can try to clear this up?
Yeah, there really is lots of stuff. These interdigital cysts are actually, again, pretty common. We think that allergy in some dogs may play a role. You can have, I actually am a big fan of soaking dogs' feet. I actually like Epsom salts. They work pretty well. I would certainly try looking for this as an allergy issue for dogs. So trying this dog on a food trial, if you haven't, I would try a food trial. And then, you know, as just like the gentleman that's got his dog at Virginia Tech dermatologist, you might want to visit a dermatologist and pick their brain for all the stuff that you can do. But foot soaks and definitely a food trial for that dog.
How long would you soak the paws?
Yeah, I usually try for about 10 minutes. You know, once 10 minutes, you're actually starting to look at the calendar. It takes so long. You know, Einstein was right. Time is relative. And when you're soaking your dog's feet, 10 minutes is an awfully long time.
I would certainly think so. All right, 844-500-4242. And again, if you want to text us a question, text Howie to 617-213-1066. And we've been talking about Zipzyme Omega.com. It's a vitamin supplement. It's a vitamin supplement. That's what it is, basically, Dr. Matt,
well, it's
right?
An essential fatty acid food, which is part of the type. It's a food that dogs need to be healthy. So, yes.
It's okay. Zipzyme Omega helps transform couch potato pets into active, vital super pets. We are what we eat, and that goes for pets too. Learn more at ZipzymeOmega.com. That's Zip, Z-Y-M-E, Omega. Zip, Z-Y-M-E, Omega.com. And Dr. Matt, what's your phone number again if people want to call you?
Yeah, my phone number at the Ipswich Animal Hospital is 978-948-8189.
Okay, we'll be back with one final segment. Get on board or text us at your questions. I'm Howie Carr.
Who else is going to put tax cheats like John Kerry in their place?
Everybody has to pay taxes, even businessmen that rob.
Come on, P. Dope. I want to do my share of the work.
Work! Howie Carr is back.
419 says, Dr. Matt's segment of the show is good, but like most other guests on radio and TV, he doesn't slow down enough for us to understand when he's giving his phone number, names of medications. Spelling of medication would also help. I don't know about spelling the medications. We'll try to do that, but that's why I let him. I want him to give out the telephone number a lot of times. Like, for instance, just right now, Dr. Matt.
Our number at the Ipswich Animal Hospital is 978-948-8189. But you can always listen to the podcast, and then you get it all again.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. And how do you spell Feloway, right, since we've mentioned that several times
okay,
tonight?
Okay, so Feloway, F-E-L Feloway, for sorry. Feline. Yeah, so it's Feloway is F-E-L-A-W-A-Y. And that is a pheromone-based therapy, so the scent cats have, you know, to signal their brain to do certain things.
Okay, and if we end the show tonight and you're still on the line, just hang on because Dr. Matt will take your call.
He will.
857, should I worry about leaving my cat outside while I'm at work in the winter? Should I provide her with a shelter to go in if she gets cold? She likes going under our shed. Is that enough cover?
Yeah, you know, that's a really, really good point for outdoor cats. I was always blessed when I had outdoor cats. They had a place that I know they could go for shelter that was either warm or protected them from the wildlife. I mean, you know, having cats outdoors is a life-shortening experience for them because they encounter mortality events that your indoor cats don't suffer
from. Known as coyotes.
Yes, it's coyote syndrome, Buick syndrome, and Nissan syndrome, yes. And so it is really, really good. Do not let them out at night, and sometimes that means for cats, don't let them in the morning. If they want to sneak it back in the morning, because cats are naturally nocturnal, do not let them in your house in the morning. Make them stay out during the day, and then let them in at night and don't let them back out. But for cats to go out during the day, they have to have a place where they can go and hide. Yeah, it's really critical.
508, do cats run away and go off on their own to die, or is this just a myth? I had a Maine coon cat that suddenly just disappeared. I never saw him again.
Yeah, that's Fisher cat's disease. So cats typically don't do that. Cats are very their foundation is in your house. Cats will run away from your house to go back to their old house if possible. So cats don't typically run off to die. I think they trust their owners enough. They trust you enough that they would stay with you. If they mm-hmm. disappeared, it's because they couldn't get back home.
Paul, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Paul.
Howie, it's always a pleasure. And my God, you've made me laugh my butt off, because like the Fisher cat disease, I used to have that with the chickens.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I did too when I lived in Acton. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, my cat's gone away. Yeah. Excuse me, but I have, my God, like I said, you guys have made me laugh for the last half an hour, and I have a 10-month-old Bicerone Shepherd.
Okay.
And she's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But she's 10 months old. You know something, I've always had male puppies, I've always had dogs. I mean, mm-hmm. my last dog was a Rhodesian for 12 years.
So what's your question, Paul? Paul, what's your question?
My question is, how do you know when she's like in season?
Oh, okay.
Trying to put it, like,
so, okay, do you want a spare or do you want a breeder?
Well, I would maybe breed her, but I don't want to spare.
Okay,
not
so
right away.
Okay,
that's your
fine.
First question to answer, Paul. Everything flows from the answer to that.
So yeah, dogs in heat. Dogs come in heat, so they are. Dogs have an estrous cycle, not a menstrual cycle. So when they have any vaginal discharge, it's from getting ready to be fertile. So you have to be careful. So they'll have some swelling. You'll see some discharge, like drops of blood on the floor. That should tip you off that your dog's in heat, and lock her up.
All right. We're going to stay on the line, James, Maria, Simon, and Dr. Matt will take your questions and answer them. And Dr. Matt, give us the number one more time. Give it slowly so everybody can get it.
I will. I'll do it. You can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital. My number is 978-948-8189.
All right. Dr. Matt, thanks. Always a pleasure to have you on. We look forward to having you next month. And in the meantime, I'm going to be trying to get my grandson a dog.
All right. Good deal. Call me if you need my
input. All right, hold on, James and Maria. Dr. Matt will take your calls. Have a good weekend. I'm Howie Carr.